Da klatschen wir mal mit. Applaus, Applaus, Applaus. The Riptide Movement. Sie sind bei mir im Studio heute Abend, spielen Sie eben Musik und Frieden hier um die Ecke. Bereits jetzt haben Sie es zu Flux FM geschafft. Wir quatschen nochmal über das neue Album, das erstmals in America produziert und aufgenommen wurde, in den legendären Sonic Ranch Studios in Texas. Und zwar von Ted Hutt, mit dem die Band auch schon mal im Studio gewesen ist. Die Herren, die ja seit 2014, spätestens seit der Platte Getting Through, auf dem Kurs internationale Weltkarriere unterwegs sind, die sind jetzt eben hier und wir quatschen nochmal über die Vorteile amerikanischer Studios in der texanischen Wüste gegenüber Aufnahmeräumen in Irland. Wir finden heraus, inwiefern Ted Hutt die neue Riptide Movement Scheibe nicht nur produziert, sondern auch kuratiert hat. Und wir bequatschen noch viel mehr. Zunächst dabei heißt es nochmal, hello and welcome Mel, Gerard, JPR and Gar. Hello, the Riptide Movement.
Hello, wie geht's?
Hello.
Mir geht's gut, wie geht's dir?
Oh, sehr gut.
Sehr schön.
Wunderbar.
Yeah, prima. His German is perfect. Where does that come from right now?
Ich habe kleine Deutsch. A small bit of Deutsch. I'm trying to learn.
Ah, okay, yeah. Cool, nice. It already sounds good. And there's a certain sympathy effect when German is spoken with a little English accent or a little French accent. Maybe you can try a French accent as well, but I think it's going to be...
I don't know what the French
going to stay in the Irish accent.
Come out.
Was nein? Oh. So, you guys are doing well. Where are you coming from today?
We're coming from Regensburg.
Oh.
We were in Regensburg on Sunday night playing a gig in the jazz club.
Nice.
And it was our first time in Regensburg, great city.
Yeah,
and
it's a beautiful city.
Oh, beautiful city. Yeah. Great venue as well, the jazz club. And before that, we were down in Kirchberg in Tyrol, in Austria.
Oh, right.
So we went over, there's a radio station at home called Today FM.
Uh-huh.
So they basically bring 650 Irish people over to Kirchberg for a skiing week. So it's a big week of party.
It sounds
music.
Like a horror movie, though.
Well, 3 or 4 a.m. It can look a bit like a horror movie, but no, it was great. It was great crack. There was like 650 people over there. It was playing music all day, skiing all day, and yeah,
but
good fun.
So if you're in love with the Irish culture, with the Irish music, with the Irish pub, you shouldn't go to Ireland, maybe, but to Austria in that very time of the year.
Yeah,
and there's 650 partying Irish people.
Yeah, if you want to get a taste of what Ireland would be like
without
and
going there,
you can't get a Ryanair flight to Dublin. Go down to Kirkberg.
Oh, fuck Ryanair.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I can say that. So congratulations on Ghosts. It's your new LP. It's been recorded in the US for the first time, and I know that the producer of the record, Ted Hutt, he's one of your favorite partners in crime, because he had recorded an album with you before Getting Through in 2013-14. You've been with the guy already. So I get the reasons for you to choose him again, because he's a perfectionist and yet he knows how to handle you guys. He knows how to tell you to write 3 more songs without hurting your feelings.
Yeah, he gets the best.
That's the important part, I think. So I know the reasons for you to choose him, but why go to America? It's only costing so much money, isn't it?
Well, for the first album that Ted did, Getting Through, we were supposed to go to America to record that. And we're all big fans of American music. We love all the old blues. You know, we love the folk. We love Bob Dylan. We love Jimi Hendrix. You know, we're very influenced by American music.
Sure.
So it was always a dream of ours to go to America to record an album. And with Getting Through, we were supposed to record it in California with Ted.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't work out with dates and stuff. So we ended up recording this in Ireland, in Grouse Lodge, and Ted Hook came over. So we said if we ever did an album again, we'd do it in America. And so we stuck to our deal, and he picked a studio called Sonic Ranch in El Paso, Texas.
It's a fucking renovated, super popular studio. Everybody knows it. Everybody wants to go there.
It's such an amazing place. It's right on the border of Mexico.
Yeah.
It's on a 15,000 acre pecan farm. There's like 3 or 4 studios there. I think JP was telling me earlier, they have any guitar you can think of, any guitar pedal, pianos, grand pianos, keyboards,
and the old school consoles and stuff, right? Oh,
absolutely amazing.
My mouth is getting watery when I'm thinking about that studio. No, really, it really sounds good to me. And another thing that I've just mentioned is that you guys had written 40 songs before you flew to the US.
Yeah.
You had 40 songs in your luggage and you presented them to Ted. And the first kind of thing he said was like, I need 3 more.
Yeah, well,
how does one react to that?
What we did was we sat down and we went through all the songs. So the album could have went in a couple of different directions. Mm-hmm. So we could have had an album that was very similar to Getting Through, because the songs were there, and Ted kind of asked us what kind of album we wanted. So we went through the songs and we came to about 7 or 8 songs that were very kind of, that we loved and kind of had a similar thread mm-hmm. throughout them. Mm-hmm. So we said, that's the nucleus of the album. So now let's write another 3 songs to make up rest of the album. So we could, like some of the songs we still love that aren't on the album, and maybe they might be on an album.
Okay,
or
cool,
fifth
cool,
album,
cool.
sixth album, maybe.
Oh, interesting though. And it must be like a situation that does have to do with pressure. If you were in an American studio, you had to pay the flights. It's all been expensive before you started working. And then the producer says, like, oh, I think we need 3 more songs to make an album out of these 40.
Yeah, it was quite, like, making an album is very, like, it is very stressful. It's great. It's a great experience. But when you have a producer like Ted, he really tries and draws the best out of you. And that can be very testing. Like, even like coming up to the last 2 days before we were supposed to go home, I was still finishing lyrics, and so the pressure, there was a lot of pressure on it.
Yeah.
But it's only when you come home and you get a bit of breathing space that you go, thank God.
And that's how diamonds are made, right? Under pressure.
Under pressure, yeah.
That's totally true.
But as Jerry, our bass player, says, pressure is for tires.
Well, see? Yeah. Another good saying. I have to write that one down. Now let's listen to a result of the recording sessions in El Paso, Texas. This is the Riptide Movement with the Elephant in the Room. Kind of like a new direction that you're taking with that song, but I like it. I'm liking it.
Nice.
And it's a festival. It's a festival anthem already. You know? I see thousands of people in front of me going like, hey, 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 Riptide Movement, I love you guys! Woo! The Riptide Movement mit The Elephant in the Room auf Flux FM. Ein erster Auszug aus ihrer Platte Ghost, zu dem auch schon ein Video gedreht wurde. You've just released a video to that song.
Yeah, we did. It's up on YouTube. We released it back in, I think it was Autumn. Mm-hmm. Autumn time. And yeah, if your listeners want to check it out, it's up there on YouTube.
The new album, there's a long time tease for it, kind of, right? Because I think it was in the end of summer 2016 that people were talking about a new Riptide album, and we were like rubbing our hands already, like, there's going to be one. But now it's you're going to release it in Germany in April or something like that?
Yeah, it's to be confirmed, but we're hopeful it'll be out before the summer, so April, May is the plan. And yeah, we can't wait to release it here. We've only released it in Ireland, and it's got good response in Ireland. Good. So we hope to do the same here.
Yeah,
but we brought some CDs with us for anyone.
Oh, cool!
For anyone that is going to the show tonight, we have CDs.
Okay, cool. So people can already buy the album at your show tonight.
Yeah, and spread the good word.
Oh, that's so good. And I really think that you should release the album before summer comes, because, as I said, songs like Elephant in the Room, they belong onto a festival stage, and that festival stage might even be in Germany, you know, this summer of 2017.
We would love that.
I think you have to take care about that. Tell your manager to go for it. It's an important thing, I think. Another thing that I found quite interesting when I was reading about the album was the fact that you were kind of separated from the band.
Yeah.
Ted Hutt separated the band from its singer.
Yeah.
And told the guys with the instruments to prepare for the recording session, told you to prepare for the recording session, but in another room. How did you do that?
So we picked the songs that we were doing. We still had another 3 songs to write for the album.
Mm-hmm.
So we started rehearsing the songs, and then at that stage Ted said that we want to get the bass, drums and guitar locked in. So you'll be better off if the lads focus on the bass and the drums and the guitar and getting it right for the recording, you'll be better off working on the lyrics. So I was wandering around the 15,000 acre pecan farm looking for some inspiration. And
it's
and
the largest
some lyrics.
Studio area in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it's a perfect place to kind of, it's the kind of place where you can get away from the world and really kind of delve into the music and become a part of the music and get your head in the right headspace. So, yeah, so that it was a good, I think it was a good tactic that Ted used. And then, you know, it allowed room and space to write the other three songs, because yeah. the three songs were Furry Lewis, The Changeling, and I Could Have Loved You, and the probably wouldn't have happened only for that space. So like Gar brought I Could Have Loved You to the table, because that was Gar, you tell about I Could Have Loved You.
Yeah, it's the last song on the album, is I Could Have Loved You, and it's a ballad that we wrote over in Texas. But the story of the song is it was a poem that my grandmother wrote.
Oh yeah, I've read about that. That's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really really nice. Yeah, and it was so great that we got to put it on the album. And
so
it,
your grandmother wrote the poem the day before she married your grandfather,
exactly,
right?
In 1946.
Yeah, I'm crying.
And it's a really beautiful poem. And my sister asked me if I would read it at her wedding. My sister got married in 2015, and she asked me if I would read it at the church. So I read it at the church, and since then I'd been trying to figure out how to put the poem into a song.
Yeah.
And I wasn't having much luck with it, but then when we were in Texas, we stayed up late one night around the kitchen table, and I showed it to the boys, and Ted and everyone loved the poem and loved the sentiment of the idea. So we just stayed up late one night, and we worked out this beautiful, like, 1940s feel of this song, and it's really, really happy and really pleased with it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful gem that you found in your family's history.
Yeah, yeah.
That
really,
you've
really
used
cool.
for that song. It's a brilliant idea. Yeah. So the fact that you were separated from each other kind of helped. I imagine you guys after a few days, like, oh, there you are again. I've missed you so much.
Yeah, yeah. And it definitely helped, because Jerry, Jay and myself were just in the live room for like 10 hours a day, just running a metronome and just locking everything down. And we'd see Mal then in the evening, or you might see him walking by the studio window with a pen and paper, you know, and scratching his head.
And, have any of you got lyrics?
But then when it came to recording, then we were really prepared, like, because the drum and bass and everything was really easy. Well, like, it's always difficult, but you felt a lot more prepared, you know, like,
cool.
Everything was locked down. We knew what tempos we were doing, everything that, so I had time then to work on everything to a metronome, and then as soon as we got cracking, it was pretty easy, like, yeah. Obviously some hairy moments, but, you know,
it's great. And the more you tell me about this guy, the more I get the feeling that Ted Hart is a genius producer.
He's
because
a legend.
Yeah. I mean, he knows how to work around the console, right? But he seems to know about the psychological things as well. Because, I mean, if a band comes into a studio with 40 songs that they've prepared and you tell them that they have to write three more, I think there are bands out there, or there's a way of telling that to a band that kind of like ends the band, you know?
Mm. He'd tell you other stories. There was like Old Crow Medicine Show. He recorded like two or three albums with them, and he said he had a bit of a nightmare with them because they do everything live and they don't do anything digital. Everything is all analog, and they didn't want to run any metronomes or any click tracks because, oh no, that's digital. But what he did was he got an old school metronome and put a microphone against it, and he'd set the tempos, and they're around like 400 years or something. He's like, well, this is all analog, so you're going to have to do it, you know? So he's just genius. The way he works people, he figures people out, and he knows how to deal with each person.
Yeah, you know? Psychology is such a big part of being a producer.
It's probably the biggest part, because he knows how some people work better under pressure, some people work better if they're kind of coasted along.
Yeah.
So he kind of can read your personality and know how far to push it, and then he can see the end result before it's even recorded. So you have an idea of what it sounds like, but he's
visionary.
Thinking, he's thinking way ahead.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds good to me. So you're going to work with him again, maybe?
We'd love to do another album with him. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Although Rick Rubin might call, and then you probably think...
Rick Rubin, yeah. That'll be our last
Sorry,
album.
Ted. You've been such a great guy, Ted, but we're going with Rick now. I want to thank you for visiting.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks
for having
so much.
Talk,
yeah.
And I wish you the best of luck for the new record, for the rest of the tour. And I have a feeling that we're going to meet again around summer, because
definitely,
I have the feeling that you're going to be here again for the festival season. I want you back here again for the festival
season. Let's just stay here forever.
Okay, just find a place. Just clean up after you a little bit, and then we're not going to have any problems. The Riptide Movement. Heute Abend spielen sie im Musik und Frieden, und wir haben Tickets für die Show, die wir verlosen dürfen per Telefon. 030 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000 9000, jetzt anrufen und Tickets sichern für The Riptide Movement heute Abend im Musik und Frieden. Und hier noch ein Stückchen zum Einstimmen. Wir hören Sie mit Skull and Crossbones.
Ah, very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah. Another great song of ours.
Another great song.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll see you later this year. Bye.
Cheers. Thank you.